For KMXT, I'm Dylan Samard. Cleanup is underway for an oil spill at the Kodiak Fisheries Research Center on your island. The oil is not threatening any water in the area. KMXT's Kirsten Dobroth reports the source of the spill is an overfilled fuel tank.
The Kodiak Island Borough's Engineering and Facilities Department was alerted of the spill on May 16th. It's contained to the gravel area around the research center's fuel tank. David Conrad is the borough's Engineering and Facilities Department director. He says the building's tank was erroneously on Petromarine's fill schedule.
And our tank was already at the level that we normally keep it. This was an error. It was nothing intentional. It was not equipment failure, which is important to the borough.
Conrad says the exact volume of fuel spilled is currently unknown, although a large amount of oily soil has already been removed from the site. Alaska's Department of Environmental Conservation was also notified of the incident. David Zimmerman is Petromarine's environmental compliance manager. He says the company has taken responsibility and is fully cooperating with the ongoing cleanup effort.
We've remediated quite a bit of fuel from the soil around the tank, and we will continue to work with DEC and the borough to basically make sure that everything is clean to the best of our ability.
Conrad didn't speculate on a timeline for evaluating and remediating the site. The cost of cleanup has also yet to be determined, although Conrad and Zimmerman anticipate Petromarine will cover it. In Kodiak, I'm Kirsten Dobrath.
The Central Kenai Peninsula is sending a team of athletes to Florida this month for the USA Special Olympics. And on Friday, they got a gold medal-worthy send-off. KDLL's Sabine Poo has more.
Athletes can sometimes get bogged down in the negative self-talk before they compete. That's not a problem for Josh Deli of Soldotna. He knows exactly what he's most looking forward to when he heads to Orlando this weekend for the 2022 USA Special Olympics.
Just the souvenirs and getting gold again and telling us we're champions.
I love the optimism and confidence.
That's his bocce partner, Sam Eason of Nanilchik. Eason and Deli are two of the athletes representing the Central Kenai Peninsula and Alaska in the Special Olympics next week. Eason has been volunteering with the Special Olympics for 20 years. He says the Orlando event is a great chance to meet athletes from all across the United States.
And I met so many good people, so we get to meet people around the whole country now involved in Special Olympics, so that's awesome.
Get to see what they do and on our off time and on time, and get to see what we do on our off time and doing our on time and such like that.
Make magic moments.
Daryl Megan of Soldotna is also competing in the Special Olympics next week. He's a swimmer. And on Friday, as the athletes boarded the first of many flights to Florida from the Kenai Municipal Airport, family and friends from Hope Community Resources gave them a very spirited send-off, complete with colorful good luck banners and a procession of fire trucks. Daryl Megan's mom, Charlissa, is joining Daryl in Orlando. And just a heads up, she is also a volunteer DJ for KDLL.
He had to swim in Special Olympics and qualify and make the team. And so he's been doing swimming with Special Olympics for 2 years now. And he qualified, and they called him last year and told him that he made the team if he would accept the honor. And he accepted it, so he's been training all year for this.
She says he's competing over 3 days in the 50-meter and 200-meter freestyle. Dennis Haas is Deli's guardian. He says Deli and Easton have been keeping up a regimented practice routine in preparation for the games.
And they've been training for, you know, couple of years, you know, and it's like weekly. They're in contact with the Special Olympics, you know, out of Anchorage, they had to take practice other sports just to keep in shape, you know. So I'm pretty proud of them. They've been working pretty hard at it.
He says that emphasis on working hard and on routine are really valuable lessons that come out of the Special Olympics for athletes.
You know, there's only two people going from the Kenai, you know, but they know a lot of the athletes from across the state, you know, by participating in statewide events, you know, so they meet friends from Kodiak and Ketchikan, and yeah.
This is the largest Alaska delegation ever to go to the USA Games.
Sue Pearls is CEO of Special Olympics Alaska. She says they're sending a group of 71, including about 30 athletes and a dozen coaches.
The summer games are mostly at Disney facilities in Orlando, so it'll have a very special and, as they say, magical flavor to it. Our Alaskans should have a great time. They're very well prepared, highly qualified, and we hope to come back with some lots of personal bests and terrific results.
Even though Alaska's Special Olympics athletes are spread out across the state, she says it's the local volunteers, like Eason, who make everything happen. That's despite pandemic-induced hiccups these last few years. Special Olympics athletes usually qualify for the USA Games in regional and then in statewide competitions. But this time around, the statewide games were sidelined due to COVID-19.
So we took their community competitions and qualified athletes through to go to the USA Games.
Deli, who's wearing his qualifying gold medal around his neck at the airport, remembers qualifying for the national competition. He says it didn't come easy.
It was
fighting really hard. Nobody was giving it easy, and nobody was wanting to give it easy to us. And we had to fight really, like, tooth and nail and stuff, so we had to really earn it. It was not given easy to us.
He's expecting more tough gameplay next week. But the Olympics won't be all work and no play. Megan says when he's not swimming, he has other plans.
Disney World.
Disney World?
Uh-huh. New flies.
Is it play when we're not working?
Yeah, playing when we're not
playing
working.
When we are working, too.
Yeah, and botching a lot.
Okay. The USA Special Olympics starts June 5th in Orlando, Florida. Special Olympics Alaska will be sharing daily recaps and photos. And if the airport send-off is any indication, there will be a lot of people cheering Deli and Megan on from home. On Friday afternoon, about 24 fans lined up in the hot summer sun to create an aisle from the terminal to the small plane while Deli and Megan slapped high fives and accepted congratulations. Then they jetted off to Anchorage. They'll be greeted by another procession before beginning the long journey down to Florida and hopefully to gold. In Kenai, I'm Sabine Pooks.
Wrangell's downtown pavilion will be bustling this month as the 4th of July royalty competition kicks off. As KSTK Sage Smiley reports, the lone competitor this year expects to work hard for the money.
This year, Wrangell's 4th of July royalty contest only has one candidate.
I'm Tyson Mesmer, and I turned 18 last month. And I am running for king this year. And in addition, I'm also a deckhand for John Taylor for Summit Charters. I just graduated on May 20th, and that's me.
Wrangell's 4th of July royalty competition, run by the local Chamber of Commerce, is no beauty contest. The person crowned queen or king is the one who sells the most raffle tickets throughout the month of June. Proceeds from the raffle tickets, which run for $1 apiece, go to help fund Wrangell's all-out 4th of July weekend celebration. Tickets pulled the week of the 4th can win ticket holders thousands of dollars. Candidates also take home a cut of the prize, 30% of their total earnings in recent years. That's part of the motivation for Mesmer, who will attend the University of Miami in Florida this coming fall, studying biology.
I wanted to run to raise money for college, but most importantly, I wanted to help fundraise for next year's 4th of July, so we can have a special 4th of July for next year.
Mesmer says that a poster in school asking students to consider entering the competition got him thinking about it.
And that's kind of when it started, and then my mom suggested it to me. Is like, do you want to run for king? It was about 2 weeks ago, so I got a little bit of late starts.
Mesmer says it's been a lot of work to wrangle together sponsors and volunteers to help run the booth, which will be open almost every day until July 2nd, serving daily specials, a set menu of burgers and hot dogs, and fry bread a couple of times a week. His strategy?
Just take it day by day, just to raise as much money as possible.
Last year, 4th of July Queen Emma Martinson raised almost $99,000 through ticket sales and a food booth, and Princess Cassidy Cowan raised just over $16,000, together nearly breaking the record for ticket sales. This month, Mesmer's Days will start early, prepping for the food booth to open at 10:30 a.m. and serving customers until it closes at 2:30 p.m., but that won't be the end of his day.
Well, after 2:30, I'll be out till about 8 o'clock selling tickets, so right after I'm done with the booth, I'll be selling tickets. Possibly before too.
Some days, Mesmer's volunteers will be a little more vital than others. He's planning on keeping his job working with Summit Charters, a local tour operator. As is required as part of the contest, Mesmer has a food manager and his mom is acting as his tickets and booth manager. He has other friends and family helping to sell tickets or volunteering regularly at the booth. Mesmer says he's a bit nervous, but has some experience with the wild month that is the Wrangell Royalty Contest. In 2015, his sister was a part of a local basketball team that collectively ran for Queen.
I have a little bit of an idea. I had to volunteer myself.
Once 4th of July weekend hits, Mesmer's sprint of a month earning money and selling tickets will be over, and he'll be able to enjoy his favorite parts of Wrangell celebrations.
All the events during the day, like egg toss and the gunny sack races, and the fireworks, of course.
To make the month of ticket sales run smoothly, Mesmer needs donations and community support. Wrangell's two supermarkets have lists posted with the items Mesmer needs donated to his booth.
I definitely need a lot of volunteers and a lot of food donations, and those are the main ones.
And, of course, Mesmer hopes the town will come out to buy food and tickets throughout the month. Get in contact with Mesmer through his King candidate Facebook page, Tyson for King, Wrangell AK 2022, or by phone, 907-305-0931. Tickets will also be sold at Buness Brothers and the Totem Bar. In Wrangell, I'm Sage Smiley.
NPR News is presentada a usted en parte por la Providence Kodiak Island Centro de Asesoramiento. Para una cita o más información, por favor, llama al 907-481-2400.
KMXT Local News is underwritten in part by
GCI. GCI has adjusted store hours across the state to keep our customers and employees as safe as possible during this time. The most up-to-date store hours are available on GCI.com.
Insight Daily Radio. Richard Rodgers and Oscar Hammerstein had one of the most successful musical partnerships of the 20th century, collaborating on the musicals Oklahoma, Carousel, South Pacific, The King and I, Cinderella, and The Sound of Music, musicals that continue to be revived to this day. In his new book, Something Wonderful, Rodgers and Hammerstein's Broadway Revolution, author Todd Purdom offers a revelatory portrait of the creative partnership that transformed musical theater and provided the soundtrack to an American century. We spoke with him about the book and their most famous play, Oklahoma.
When Rodgers and Hammerstein started to work together, they didn't intend to revolutionize the Broadway musical. They intended to be faithful to the story material they had in front of them. So they rejected the idea of starting Oklahoma with a choral number at a strawberry picking festival or a quilting bee, and they decided to open it the same way the original play had opened, with a woman churning butter on the stage and a cowboy singing in the wings. The effect of this was so quiet, so naturalistic, that it landed like a bomb. And as they went on, they didn't pick stories deliberately to be controversial or make a statement. They picked compelling stories, and because of their stature as artists and their success as businessmen, they were able to take the risks, lead Broadway along, have audiences follow, and had a degree of success that owed to their own expertise in every aspect of the theater, an expertise they put to use for 20 years.
That's author Todd Purdom, whose new book, Something Wonderful, Rodgers and Hammerstein's Broadway Revolution, has just been released. Insight Daily Radio.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Hello, this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Kodiak with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement Number 1, date issued 10 a.m. on June 6th. There will be a 33-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Thursday, June 9th to 9 p.m. Friday, June 10th in the following areas. In the Northwest Kodiak District and the Cape Alitak, Humpy Dead Man, Alitak Bay, Mosier Bay, and Olga Bay sections of the Alitak District. The following areas will open to commercial salmon fishing at noon Thursday, June 9th, and will remain open until further notice. The Inner Katoy Bay, Outer Katoy Bay, Duck Bay, and Izua Bay sections of the Afognak District, and the Fowl Bay Special Harvest Area and the Waterfall Bay Special Harvest Area. Fishermen are reminded that in the Kodiak area, including the mainland district, beginning at noon Thursday, June 9th, until further notice, king salmon 28 inches or greater in length may not be retained by purse seine gear in the commercial fishery and must be returned to the water unharmed. Closed waters will be reduced in the following locations: in Fowl Bay, to the stream terminus at Hidden Lake Creek, stream number 251406. In Waterfall Bay, to the stream terminus at Little Waterfall Creek, stream number 251822. And to the stream terminus at Big Waterfall Creek, stream number 251821. And in Katoy Bay, to the fishing game markers located at Little Katoy and Big Katoy Bays near stream numbers 252323 and 252324. Other closed waters are shown in the Kodiak Area Salmon Statistical Chart, detailed in Commercial Salmon Fishing Regulations and Statistical Charts. Harvest strategies and Commercial Salmon Fishing Regulations are available at the Kodiak Fish and Game Office, and of course the most recent salmon fishery information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour record phone at 486-4559. Thank you very much. Good luck fishing. This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
So, yes, fishing season is finally back on. Well, very soon, anyways. Today is Monday, the 6th of June of this year of 2022. The sun rose today at 5:12. It will set tonight at 11:04. It will rise again tomorrow at 5:12. That is a total of 17 hours, 52 minutes of daylight, a gain of 2 minutes and 7 seconds. The record high was 70 degrees in 1922, 1980, and 1990. The record low, 34 degrees in 2002. For Kodiak District tides, a high tide at 6:33 of 6.9 feet, a low tide at 1:29 p.m. of 0.5 feet, a high tide at 8:24 p.m. of 6 feet, and a low at 1:48 a.m. of 3.4 feet. For west side tides in Larsen Bay, a high tide at 7:05 a.m. of 10.8 feet, a low tide at 1:52 p.m. of 1.5 feet, a high tide at 8:40 p.m. of 10.8 feet, and a low tide at 2:37 a.m. of 5.5 feet. Unfortunately, NOAA Weather has not updated our marine weather. I'm going to check on that again here in a few moments and see if we can get some information for you. But in the interim, time for some community announcements. There will be a Board of Education work session immediately followed by a special meeting on June 6th of 2022 at 6:30 p.m. in the District Services Conference Room F140 of the old high school wing. The meeting will also be streamed through BlueJeans. Meeting login information is posted on the Kodiak Island Borough School District website, www.kibsd.org, under the Board of Education tab. Items on the special meeting agenda include 2022 to 2023 certification contracts, fiscal year 23 milk supply bid award, a purchase requisition for Veritive Operating Company, a purchase order revision for Ann's Physical Therapy and Massage, of FY22 CTE Skills/Career Camp Grant Award, an executive session for school finance. The meeting agendas and packets for the meeting can be viewed on Board Docs, which is www.boarddocs.com/ak/board.nsf/public. For more information, contact Bianca Clark, Secretary to the Board of Education at 907-486-7566. PSAs for the Kodiak Public Library for this week. Kodiak Public Library is hosting a community beekeeping project this summer. Weekly hive checks are every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Call to reserve a spot outside with the beekeeper. For more information, contact Ani at 486-8683. Wednesdays at 3:30 p.m., the library hosts a Lego club. Children under 10 must be accompanied by an adult. Thursdays at 11 a.m. is preschool story time for children 3 to 5 and their families. Story time is limited to 10 children. Please call the library at 486-8686 to reserve your spot. Friday, June 10th at 10 a.m. is the library's Edible Plants Nature Walk. Join Miss Ani on a nature walk to learn about the various plants of Kodiak from edible to poisonous. Call the library to sign up at 486-8686. The library is hosting an escape room this summer. Sessions are every Tuesday at 5 p.m., Friday at 3:30 p.m., and Saturdays at 2 p.m. and 3:30 p.m. Gather a couple of friends to use logic, instinct, and detective skills to figure out the clues and solve the puzzle. Open to all ages, children under 14 must be accompanied by an adult. Physical space is limited. Groups of three are recommended. Call the library at 486-8686 to reserve your spot. Read Beyond the Beaten Path. Sign up for Kodiak Public Library's Summer Reading Program. All ages are welcome to participate and earn prizes. Use Beanstack to log your reading and get involved. Check it out at kodiak.beanstack.org. For more information, call the library or drop by soon. The library is open from 10 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. Monday through Thursday and 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Notice of Kodiak Island Borough Meetings for June 6th to the 17th. Monday, June 6th, that's today at 6:30 p.m. At the Borough Conference Room, a Consolidation Committee regular meeting. Tuesday, June 7th at 5:30 p.m. at the Women's Bay Fire Hall, Women's Bay Service Area Board Meeting. Thursday, June 9th at 6:30 p.m. at the Assembly Chambers, an Assembly Work Session. And Thursday, June 16th at 6:30 p.m. at the Assembly Chambers, an Assembly Regular Meeting. The Kodiak City Council will hold a work session on Tuesday, June 7th of 2022. The meeting will begin at 7:30 p.m. This meeting is open to the public. Public members are encouraged to tune into KMXT 100.1 FM, the very radio station to which you are now listening. The meeting will be web-streamed, and the web-streaming link and meeting packets are available online at cityofkodiak.civicweb.net/portal/meetingtypelist.aspx. For those who wish to request printed meeting materials or have questions regarding the meeting, please contact the clerk's office at 486-8636. The Kodiak City Council will hold a regular council meeting on Thursday, June 9th of 2022. The meeting will begin at 7:30 p.m. This meeting is open to the public. Public members are encouraged to tune in to KMXT 100.1 FM. The meeting will be web-streamed, and the web-streaming link and meeting packets are available online at cityofkodiak.civicweb.net/portal/meetingtypelist.aspx. For those who wish to request printed meeting materials or have questions regarding the meeting, please contact the clerk's office at 486-8636. An LGBTQ+ friendly rave cycle class will be held at A Balanced Approach on Friday, June 10th at 7 p.m. It's fun and friendly exercise class for anyone 14 years of age and up. You can sign up on Zen Planner if you are already a member of A Balanced Approach, or email them at info@abakodiak.com. That's info@abakodiak.com. Class size is limited, so sign up today. Donations for Kodiak Pride will be accepted at the door. Find out more by visiting the Kodiak Pride Facebook page. Senior Citizens of Kodiak Incorporated will hold its annual and regular monthly board meeting Wednesday, June 8th at noon at the Kodiak Senior Center. A delicious lunch will be service at the congregate setting and curbside setting, and brief business reports will be given. The event is for people 60 and older, and the donation for lunch is $7. For more information, call the center at 486-6181. Kodiak History Museum and Exhibit Change, Making History Day by Day, Kodiak, Our Stories in the COVID-19 Pandemic. The exhibit is a reflection on the COVID-19 experience in Kodiak. It features stories, photos, memes, and more from Kodiak community members, plus special works by Ronald Jackson of Slim Jones, Inc., commissioned by the Kodiak History Museum. It was previously a traveling exhibit that was on display at the Best Western Kodiak Inn, Gerald C. Wilson Auditorium, and the Kodiak Public Library. This is the first time the entire exhibit is on view at the same time. Previously, only parts of the exhibit were displayed. KHM partnered with KMXT to produce the long haul in conjunction with the exhibit. To kick off the exhibit's time at KHM, KHM and KMXT will have one final episode on June 8th at 9 a.m. Tune in then to listen. Making History Day by Day, Kodiak, Our Stories in the COVID-19 Pandemic will be on view at the Kodiak History Museum June 10th through August. Are you looking for something to do in Kodiak? Do you want to see Kodiak through a new artistic lens, full of adventure and appreciation? After a long closure due to the pandemic, the Kodiak History Museum is open and debuting a new show titled Kodiak Collective in its temporary gallery on April 30th. The show features a collection of broadsides created by Natasha Zahn Priestess and Sarah Lowen. Stop by the Kodiak History Museum until June 7th to check out this show that explores the natural beauty, history, and circular nature of life in the Kodiak Archipelago. Come to the Kodiak History Museum and take a deeper look at this place we live. And it's really the last day if you want to look at that exhibit. Going to check on the marine weather here, see if we've finally gotten an update from NOAA. And unfortunately not. Thank you so much. You've been listening to KMXT 100.1 FM.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181. Fax us at 486-2733 or email psa@kmxt.org.